Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part four of a four-part series entitled Don't Be Nice, and today's message is specifically entitled Don't Be Nice, Be Loving, based off of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So, let us dive into the Word today. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in tongues and unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely just as God knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Amen. I just love a good love song, don't you? And I can think of many different ones. I can think of I Just Can't Help Falling in Love with You by Elvis Presley, or Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You, or the song Always by Bon Jovi. I mean, there's a slew of really good, like, kind of like get you in the, you know, in the moment of love and romance, get you kind of in that mood, songs out there, and tons of them, actually. I'm also, believe it or not, a sucker for a good love story. Some of my favorites are Dirty Dancing, Pretty Woman, 10 Things I Hate About You with Heath Ledger and Julia Stiles. Love that one. Most people don't realize that that movie is actually a modern update, a modern take on Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. So go watch that movie. You'll see what I'm talking about. Now, they even actually directly quote the play at points, but in a way that's comedic. Anyway, like I said, some of my favorites are Dirty Dancing, Pretty Woman, 10 Things I Hate About You, A Walk to Remember, Sweet November, Ghost, or anything with Patrick Swayze in it, actually. The dude just rocks. And then Franco Zeffirelli's Romeo and Juliet, which is the 1960s version with Olivia Hussey. And, you know, like, those are just some of, you know, my favorites. There are tons of movies we could pick from. Sleepless in Seattle, When Harry Met Sally, you know, there's tons and tons of those movies. Some may even be fans of movies such as Casablanca or Gone with the Wind, An Affair to Remember, Breakfast at Tiffany's, The Notebook, etc. There are countless films to choose from, just like there are countless love songs to choose from, to get you in the mood of love. We as a culture are so enamored with love stories and love songs because they make us feel good. We love to see marriage proposals in public. We love to attend a good wedding. We love the idea of love. In fact, over 62% of all songs written, of all the songs that have ever been written, over 62% of them are about love. And crazier still, 92% of the top 10 Billboard songs are about sex and sex appeal. No joke. 92% of them. Just turn on the radio and you're going to be hearing about body parts and all sorts of racy, steamy stuff, because that's what people want to hear in this culture, in this country. If you're from America, but certainly in the Western culture, that is predominantly what people listen to. We love romantic love so much that we've even created a holiday to celebrate it, right? Valentine's Day. The day in which a 3rd century obscure Roman priest and Christian martyr gets somehow conflated with the Roman mythological god known as Cupid. How that happened, there's you know, wild guesses, wild stabs in the dark as to how that happened, but who knows? And Cupid, by the way, the Roman god Cupid is the same as the Greek god Eros, where we get the word erotic from. Society tells us first and foremost that love is erotic. It's all about kisses and hugs and hearts and, of course, lovemaking. Society tells us that love is convenient, that it makes us, that it's meant to feel good, that it's meant to make us happy, that it's meant to complete us. I think of the Jerry Maguire film where he tells his love interest, "You complete me." And then she says, "Oh, you had me from hello." That's what society tells us about love. In fact, in society's take on love, it is almost always about me, right? You complete who? Me. You complete me. Sure, there's a we in there. However, the we really is there to serve me. When we really think about how that language is working and what we're really referring to when we talk in those ways, it's really about serving me. And with society, including the music we listen to and the movies we watch and the celebrities we follow, with society being our primary teacher of love and what to expect in love, it's no wonder that most in our society haven't matured in our understanding of love. I mean, how can we? This is what we're told day in and day out that love ought to be. And then we wonder why marriages fail and relationships break down when things don't go the way, they don't go the happy ending way of Hollywood or of music. As Christians, brothers and sisters, our primary teacher of love is Jesus Christ. And the primary manual of love is the Bible. In the Bible, there are many different types of love passages. Love is literally prominent throughout the entirety of Scripture. Love God, love your neighbor, love your enemies, love mercy, love one another. God is love. Scripture teaches us that there are really 4 different types of love. There is philos, which is brotherly love. That is the kind of love found between friends. There is eros, which is erotic love or romantic love. There is storge, which is familial love or the love that is found between family members, storge or storge, depending which way you pronounce it. Finally, there is agape, which is the deepest and most true form of love as it comes from God's very essence. We hear in 1 John 4 verses 6 and 4 verses 8, we hear John say, For those who don't know love do not know God, for God is love. Agape is God's immeasurable love, and it is the essence of God, of God's being. Throughout our reading today in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul is referencing and defining agape. Sadly, 1 Corinthians 13 is probably one of the, well, not sadly, it's one of the most well-known, but sadly one of the most misused scriptures. It's great that it's well-known, but it's sad that it's misused. And people almost always choose it for their wedding because it has a nice ring to it. There's that word again, nice. People see 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as a nice and poetic way to scripturally describe their eros, or erotic, romantic love to their soon-to-be spouse. And yet, at least half of those marriages end up failing, and that's not throwing out judgment. That's just a fact. That's just a fact. The reality is that while marriage ceremonies are nice, marriages are messy. They're messy. As are all relationships, all human relationships. The problem with viewing such a passage in the context of eros is that it is fundamentally not eros that Paul is talking about. Marriages, more times than not nowadays, are centered on human relationships. Sure, God is mentioned in the marital covenant. Sure, God is mentioned at weddings. But is he really the center of that marriage? Is he the center of that relationship between the man and the woman, or the man and the man and the woman and the woman, or however, you know, whoever's getting married? Is he the center? Is he the center of that human relationship, or is the human relationship centered on the other person and vice versa? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul is speaking of more than just eros. In fact, he's not speaking of eros at all. In fact, he is talking about the very essence and nature of God. He is talking about agape. And if you replace the word love in this chapter with God, you get to see the picture a bit better. Let me do that for you. I'll do that with verses 4 through 7 of chapter 13. God is patient and kind. God is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. God does not demand his own way. God is not irritable and keeps no record of being wronged. God does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. God never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. This, my friends, is the essence of God. So when Paul is talking about love, he's talking about something that comes from the very essence of God. It more describes who God is than it does a romantic relationship or a friendship or a familial relationship. By now, you are hopefully getting the idea that we are called to more than the sappy love in songs and movies. Agape captures Christ's love, and we are all called to do the hard work of sharing Christ's love. The question for you is this: how is your love becoming more like Christ's and less like the world's expressions of love? Paul introduced chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, by saying, "But now let me show you a more excellent way. Don't be nice. Be loving. Like, really loving." God is calling us to a more excellent way to show our neighbors and our world agape, including people we don't like. This isn't about loving those who love us. Jesus asks, "What reward is there in that?" No, love your enemies. Do good to those who hurt you. Pray for those who persecute you. Really love people, even those you don't like. This kind of love will cost us, friends. It will cost us our time and our energy, but imagine if we all work together. Imagine if we all work together to be kind, joyful, peaceful, and loving. Imagine the difference that your congregation would make in your community if your church worked together in such a way. Imagine if people in our community knew your church, or people in your community knew your church as the church that loved them. Like, wow. Imagine if the people who run your local food pantry or your local soup kitchen, or even the people who eat there, saw you and your church as people who love them. Imagine if your local program that helps kids who from underprivileged families get an education, like a Head Start program or something of that nature. Imagine if those children and families saw you and your church as the kind, peaceful, joyful church who loves them. Imagine what could be if we all work together to be kind, joyful, peaceful, and loving. So I challenge you to volunteer at your local soup kitchen, or commit to reading a book to underprivileged kids at programs such as Head Start, or volunteer at your church's thrift shop, or pay for people's clothes to be cleaned at a laundromat, and show them you love them. And those are just some basic and only a few tangible things that you could do. There are so many things you could do to show people in your community you love them. And I pray that you will all take up that challenge and share God's agape, God's love, with all in your community. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for challenging us today and challenging us throughout this series to step up to the plate and to stop being nice, to not be nice, but to be a people who are kind, a people who are joyful, a people who are peaceful, and a people who are loving. Lord, guide us in these things and help us to draw closer to you and to be more like you each and every day. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so that's it, my friends. That's the end of this four-part series entitled Don't Be Nice, and I want to thank you for tuning in. I'm sure you could hear the rolling thunder in the background. We're having thunderstorms currently. There's another rolling thunder right there. Anyway, I would just like to invite you to check out the episode notes, and you can support us by going to Life Giving Water swag store. Any of the Life Giving Water specific swag that's sold on there goes to support this. The rest for the Party on Johncast stuff, it goes to support that podcast. Also, you can rate us and review us on whatever platform you listen to, and that helps to bump us up in the listing. So any way you support us, we'd be very thankful. In the meantime, friends, I would just like to remind you that you are richly blessed, so that you may be a blessing to others. Amen. Go in peace.